This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Look to the Stars.
You know, when you're not a visiting pastor, an evangelist, going from city to city, you have a set number of sermons that you'll preach when you go from place to place. So maybe they've got a dozen sermons they can put in their portfolio and carry them for a dozen different sermons around the country. But when you're a garden variety pastor like I am, you come up with 50 different messages at least in the course of a year. And you don't want to feed the same food to the same flock week after week. And so you want to come up with things from the Holy Spirit, which will speak to you at different places in your life and speak to you at different issues in the world. And sometimes it's messages that speak to the heart, and sometimes it's messages that challenge, messages that encourage, and some messages kind of just want to build up your faith in the God of the Bible and who He is, and such as this morning. I thought I would take an apologetic approach, which means being able to share what it is we believe about God as creator of the universe with you this morning and give you some facts that will strengthen your faith as you begin to understand what it is that God did in creation. I told you last week that the great scientists of the 1800s, etc., the Galileos whenever he was a scientist, and the very Newton and so many others that you've heard, classic scientists, when their science was something that was fresh in their hearts and minds, their goal was to find out what God had done and how he did it. They started out believing God, not started out in a godless mindset. There is no God, and anytime the trail take you to a place where there was evidence of that God, you close the door. No, these men looked for the evidence of what God had done in creation. And so that's what I'd like to do with you this morning as we look to the stars. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews that the faith that we have has evidence. And the faith that we have has substance. It goes on in Romans to write that even if you lifted a rock up, you'd be able to see God. You'd be able to see him in the creation that's visible. And then if there were things that were invisible, you'd be able to see the hand of Almighty Creator God. And so it was when the scripture was written, there were no microscopes or telescopes. They were limited to just what they could observe just walking along. But now we've come to the place where we can get so microscopic we can see inside each human cell down to the tiniest elements contained therein. And then we can look into the heavens not only from the planet but from satellites with Hubble and all these other telescopes that are out there. And we can see deeper and darker and longer and smaller and tiniest. All of these things. This is a challenge for a book that doesn't change. There may be things about science that the Bible will say 2,000 years ago and 4,000 years ago that science completely disproves, but guess what? It doesn't. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. As we look at the big side of God and we look to the stars, someone wrote these words, "The Bible is the history book of the universe." I like the sound of that. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by God who designed and created the universe, the Bible tells us how it began. Now, a lot of scientists will say they have no idea how it began. They think maybe the Big Bang or whatever theory it is. But if you believe this book, you believe in the beginning God. You believe there was a beginning, and you believe God was there. In the beginning, God created. I believe that with all my heart. How it came to be the way it is today and how it works. The Bible is not a science textbook, which is a pretty good thing because our science textbooks are based on the best evidence of well-intentioned scholars who don't know everything and who sometimes make mistakes. That's why science textbooks change from time to time based on new evidence, and as science realizes, they got certain things wrong. The Bible, however, never changes and never needs to because God got it right the first time. Amen, amen, amen. So what does the Bible teach about a subject I want to share with you this morning, a astronomy. Astronomy. Let's begin our research with the dictionary definition of astronomy. The scientific study of the universe beyond the Earth, especially the observation, calculation, dimensions, distribution, motion, and composition of celestial bodies and phenomena. Leave it to the dictionary to make it even more confusing. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." Now, there are many philosophical ways to approach the Bible's truths. And one of them, and the existence of God, one of them is called the teleological argument. And this is what it says. The existence of God is proven by the order and useful arrangement in the universe. The orderly world and universe in which we live clearly demonstrates that a great mind was behind its arrangement. It's not chaos. It's order. It's math. It's mathematical. It's algebraic. It's calculus. It's all those fancy words we apply to those things that are so complex, they can't just be happenstance. And the probability begins to work its way to the point where it's improbable to think it any other way. The Bible says certain things about the heavens. What's over our head out there? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:2 that there are three heavens. Now, I've taught this many, many times. Certain things are worth repeating, amen? And I think this is worth repeating for you. Heaven number one is in Job 35:3. Now, I've given you all the scripture in your notes this morning. Heaven number one is our atmosphere from earth to the clouds. The Bible says as high as a bird can fly. That's heaven number one. Heaven number two is found in Genesis 1:14. It says our solar system, the further universe. It actually says the place where the sun and the stars and the moon and other planets are. That's heaven number two. And heaven number three is found in Isaiah 14:13. It's where God is. It's where Father God sits on his throne above the stars. It's a place you might want to keep in your mind because sooner or later, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're getting there. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be more exciting than the stars. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, or stand with me as we read these three verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. Genesis 1, verse 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Thank you. You may be seated. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses wrote those words over 3,500 years ago. He tells us the universe is stretched out like a curtain and spread out like a tent for us to dwell in. Genesis calls that tent firmament. It further tells us that there's water above it and water below it. There's water above our firmament and water below it. There's water below our own solar system. We know that. Oceans, rivers, streams, lakes. But the Bible also tells us that there is water above our solar system. In other words, to put it in the vernacular, to make it easy for all of us to understand, there's water out there in space. Now, if you follow science at all, if you follow space exploration at all in the rockets, scientists are looking for water out there. They're hoping water's on the moon so that we can populate it. They've already discovered, however it is they do that, that Saturn's rings have water on them. The first chapter of the first book of the Bible tells 21st century science, if you're looking for water out there in the universe, keep looking for it. I put it there. God encourages them to keep looking. Meteors come down to Earth, and you know what they find in them? There's ice. It's got to be water in order for there to be ice. Psalm 148, verse 4 says, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters above the heavens." Water out in space. God tells Abram to look to the stars. When you look to the stars, what do you see? Psalm 147, verse 4. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. It's estimated that there are over 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Some scientists estimate that there, I never heard of this word, 40 sextillion stars in the universe. Only God knows the actual number. And then can you imagine? He names them. Whatever that means in God's economy, he names the stars. We look up at a starry night, and to our eyes, the stars all look alike. But here's what God revealed to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago before telescopes were found. 1 Corinthians 15:41. One star differs from another star in glory. Here's a couple of ways in which they do. Stars differ in color. Stars range in color from red to blue. The color of a star indicates the surface temperature, spanning from 7,200 degrees Fahrenheit to 36,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The coolest stars are red. The hotter stars are orange, then yellow, white, and finally blue. Our sun is in there with a surface temperature of about, anybody have a guess? It's about 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Bring your marshmallows. Next, stars differ in brightness. Stars range in brightness as well as color. How bright a star really is determined by both the temperature and the size of the star. Big stars shine brighter than little stars of equal temperature because there is a larger surface for them to be viewed by. Psalm 148:3, praise him, all ye stars of light. Much scientific investigation and political dialogue has been spent on the canopy over our atmosphere, known as the ozone layer. Here's how the Bible described the ozone layer 2,700 years ago. Isaiah 40, verse 22. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. The ozone layer is the protective covering of the atmosphere, which has just the right density to sustain life on Earth. It shields out harmful ultraviolet rays, while it lets in healthful ultraviolet rays. In other words, it's a God thing. Who could make it so that the bad stuff is kept out and the good stuff is kept in? Sounds like a wall to me, but you can't say that. That's too political. The oldest book in the Bible is Job, written around 2000 BC. So we're talking 4,000 years. What could someone know about the universe 4,000 years ago? Answer, not much. But he happens to be cheating. He's listening to the one who made it. And so in listening to what God says, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he gives us an amazing golden nugget of science. At a time when it was commonly believed that the earth sat on a large animal or giant, the Bible spoke of the earth's free float in space. Job 26:7, he hangs the earth upon what? Say that again. Nothing. It took like 400 years ago for us to find out that that was really true, that there was nothing holding it up. Now, if you can get past the planet and back up and you look, it's hanging, just hanging there in nothing. Now, if God wrote that 4,000 years ago and says it's standing on the back of an elephant who's standing on the back of a turtle, and we didn't see that, we could say the Bible was wrong. In fact, there are many Eastern religions who teach just that, that the earth sits on the back of an elephant. Do you remember Greek mythology? Who held up the earth? Atlas. Last time I saw any pictures from space looking back on the earth, I didn't see Atlas. He must have really shrugged. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sits on the circle of the earth. So Bible believers are not flat earthers. It was science up until 600 years ago that believed the earth was flat. But it was scripture that inspired Christopher Columbus to take his round the world trip believing that the world wasn't and he wouldn't fall off. Isaiah 50 in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness. Astronomers have discovered that galaxies contain an invisible source of mass called dark matter. Most astrophysicists currently believe that there is more dark matter in the universe than visible matter. For many scientists, they say that what you're looking up in the stars isn't even there. It's more invisible than visible. The universe is more invisible than visible. So said Isaiah, because again, he was listening in to what God said. Psalm 8:8 uses the expression, the paths of the sea. Matthew Maury, I didn't put it down, it's M-A-U-R-Y, was called the father of oceanography. He was intrigued by those five words, and he discovered the paths of the warm and cold continental currents, both in the air and in the sea. Ecclesiastes 1:6, the wind goes toward the south and turns about onto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits. This was written 2,000 years ago before science discovered air currents. When you hear the term El Niño, that's already in the Bible, but not that way, which means the boy baby. We now know the air around the earth turns in huge circles, clockwise in one hemisphere and counterclockwise in the other, just as detailed in Ecclesiastes. Finally, Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. God is finished with creating new matter. God says his creation was finished once and for all, and that's exactly what the first law of thermodynamics says. This law states that neither matter nor energy can either be created or destroyed. There is no creation ongoing today in that sense. President Dwight D. Eisenhower said this, it takes no brains to be an atheist. I wonder how long he'd be president if he said that today. It takes no brains to be an atheist. Any person can deny the existence of a supernatural power because man's physical senses cannot detect it. But there cannot be ignored the influence of conscience. The respect we feel for the moral law, the mystery of first life, or the marvelous order in the universe. I think all of those things have pretty much been abandoned since President Eisenhower spoke those words. Respect for life, respect for law, to believe there is right, to believe there is wrong, to believe there is absolutes, to believe that there is truth, to believe that there is error, to believe that there's one book that you can put your faith and trust in and let it be your guard and your guide and your pathway to life. It's this book. You can trust this book. You can trust God's word. You can rest upon it. You can have assurance. You can know by virtue of what this book says. You can get to know God because our God is the God of this book. The God of the Bible. It behooves you and it behooves me to become lifelong students of God's precious word. Be in it every day. It will be all the things God's promised it to be. It'll be food for your soul. It'll be water to quench your spiritual thirst. It'll be all the things that God has promised, bread and life and comfort and strength. God tells us to look to the heavens, look to the stars, and in so doing we see his order, his harmony, his might, and his majesty. And we also see his eternal home. We're looking forward to that day. His word is true, his promises are true. So when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, you can count on that. Because that promise is sealed between the covers of this sacred and holy book, the Bible. Amen? Look to the stars. Look around you. Open your eyes. God, creative hand, is everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that we can have. Just looking around. Just observing. Just seeing with eyes filled with wonder. and eyes filled with hope, and God, with eyes filled with faith. Thank you that your promises are true and your word is true, and that we can live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.